What up, y'all? Faraz here, and this is the Twice Over Film Club. Today we got our full episode on City of God. Our tally for this does not vary that much. It's between a 76 and a 79. Honestly, that just means all the elements of this movie were well done. Make sure to check out thetwiceover.com and see what your tally is by playing around with the tally tool and rearranging the different elements in different orders. For some movies, it makes a significant difference. Also, to keep up to date with what we're watching, follow us at The Twice Over on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or Letterboxd. On Tuesdays, we announce what we're watching that week. All right, here's our City of God episode with myself, Farhan, and Fahad. All right, so this was technically a suggestion by Sabine, City of God, but she never actually sat down and watched it again.
Really? When's the last time you guys watched it?
Last time we watched it, maybe like 3-4 years ago. I rewatched it, obviously, to do this podcast. I've seen it now like 3 or 4 times at least. But yeah, in terms of like thoughts or anything, she doesn't have anything crazy, man. She just thinks it's a good movie and then we should have done it by now. So we're doing it.
Okay. So I first watched it in what, like 2008 or something? And this is my second rewatch. My first rewatch.
I'm pretty sure, Farhan, we watched this in high school, right?
I think I watched it first with you, but I've watched this movie probably 10 times, man.
What?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I watched this movie a lot.
How and why? It's not like a movie that just comes on TV. You must have made the effort to just sit down
and be like,
okay, I'm going to watch
this. Dude, I don't remember the last time I've seen a movie on TV. I don't have TV.
Okay.
What is TV?
What
dude?
Is TV?
Well, the thing is, I feel like City of God, I feel like has always been available on like a streaming service. Like right now it's on HBO Max, but I feel like it was on Netflix for a long time.
It was.
It was on like Amazon Prime for a long time. Like it's always available somewhere. All right, guys. So let's get going with our scores. Narrative score. My narrative score here is 90.
I give it a 65.
I am at a 90.
Ooh, so I'm a, the outlier.
Surprise.
65?
Yeah,
really?
Very low.
Let me explain myself.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I didn't care for the plot. That's basically it. The protagonist was basically an outsider to the central conflict between the two gangs. And then on top of that, I thought the direction was kind of amateurish with like a lot of questionable choices from like funky camera angles, like those Dutch angles, to the use of slow-mo and other stylized techniques that just didn't work well.
So you didn't think that those were purposeful?
No.
Okay, so
they were done on purpose.
They were done on purpose. I will agree with Fahad on one point, though. Those like... those slow-mos, those even like sound effects even of the of a camera, because they're just pushing the photography theme quite a bit. Like it felt a little amateur, a little distracting. But I would say that, yeah, it was obviously purposeful. I didn't like that as much as I mean, I just noticed it more now than I have before in my previous watches. As far as the story, I liked it. It's nice and simple. So Fahad, like the thing is, we are... we're obviously outsiders to this world anyway. So Rocket, the protagonist, who's narrating the movie for us, I thought that was a very apt choice to, present the story to an outsider like us.
Yeah.
But he didn't have any story for himself. Like his whole thing was becoming a photographer, right, with a newspaper, which was a small plot line, but it didn't have any sort of conflict within it. Right. So that's why I felt disinterested.
He's somebody in the slums who... wants nothing to do
with the
violence that just surrounds him, and he's trying to be successful in
and while that's
life
admirable
outside of all of that stuff, you know?
While that's admirable, it's kind of boring, you know. I was more interested in the gangs and what was going on there, even though it was like morally reprehensible, but I don't know.
So Fahad, your critique here reminds me of like what I didn't like about Sicario, because we get the point of view from Emily Blunt's character.
Oh yeah. From someone like, that's naive and like
she's
an outsider
totally
the
not
world.
Interesting. Yeah, she's not interesting at all. Whereas like the gangs that she's like, they would have been a more better point of view for an audience. But I don't know. I think in this one, the main character Rocket was close enough to the action that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's go on to the writing. I gave this an 80.
Same here.
I gave it a 75. So pretty close.
I feel like I should preface actually before we go any further. Into saying that you're talking about like some of the stuff being amateurish. Most of the actors in this movie are not trained actors.
Yeah.
They're actually from the City of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're from the favelas.
Yeah.
And some of the shots are actually shot by Rocket, the actual dude.
I will also say this. The two directors, Fernando Mireles, he was like an advertising guy, like in marketing, and he did this film. And then the co-director, Katia Lund, she did a documentary on like the City of God, like in the 90s. And that's why you have like this very documentary feel or look to the movie. We'll talk about that in aesthetics, but I guess what, along with the actors, even like the directors weren't like seasoned, you know, film directors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which honestly, it added a lot of authenticity and it worked for this movie, in my opinion. So, but for things like writing, you know, it's nothing spectacular, I felt, but it is, a lot of it isn't, a lot of it is kind of improvised, or it's like, you know, pieces of dialogue that weren't even supposed to make it into the movie. It was just the actors kind of just talking amongst themselves and they put it in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it felt very natural to me. Again, the foreign language stuff, we're bound by the subtitles, but, you know, there's some good comic relief here and there. It felt authentic. That's why I went. We all are pretty close here. We just thought probably better than average, but not spectacular.
Right. Mm-hmm. My rationale falls along the same lines as you guys. There wasn't anything stellar to me. And at the same time, there wasn't anything done poorly. So I just gave it an average score. One thing I do want to point out is that I didn't like the heavy reliance on narration. But that was it. Yeah.
Let's go on to the acting. Here, I give it a 90.
I gave it a 65.
Man, he's not liking this movie for us. I went with an 80.
Okay.
For acting. When I say that, like, a lot of these people were not trained actors. Some of it doesn't come as a complete surprise. You know, but and I give it an 80 because for them not ever having any experience, like Lil Z was not even auditioning for a role. He was there just to give his friend company.
Okay.
And the dude ended up with the main role. And he was like pretty decent, you know?
I mean, I'm going to say, dude, for me, acting is all about like how believable they are. And these guys felt very authentic to me. Very real. Even like supporting actors were pretty good.
For me personally, sometimes it didn't seem believable, you know, at all.
Yeah, I guess the caveat I would say is when things were a little more scripted and like part of the story, and like, you kind of needed to do it so the story progresses, those moments kind of felt, you know, you could kind of tell they were acting. But the stuff that's kind of filler as in between the story, not progressing one to the next, and people are just, it's like they're shooting the shit, and it just seems very authentic to me.
Yeah, yeah. Those are actually the best. Those are the best moments, I feel like. But
do you think those scenes where the acting is poor, right? Those scenes where...
See, I wouldn't say it's poor. I just would say it's like average, maybe.
Okay.
Right.
For me, it was poor.
Yeah. Okay.
So those scenes in particular, do you think you can fault it on the directors for not doing a retake? Because they are working with amateurs, right? So if it's their choice to use amateurs, they need to be more understanding and take out that time to do retakes. Because
I don't fault anybody. Look, okay. I don't think that the directors even knew. I don't think anybody knew how popular this movie would become.
Yeah.
Okay. So
nobody knew.
It was just them making it for their own audience.
They were just, were just trying to make sort of a movie with like a documentary feel about the gang war, about the drug wars at that time. Because we know this is based off a true story in the
70s and 80s. It's based off a book, right? It's based off the narrator's actual book.
Yeah. I think that's what they were trying to do. I don't think that they knew how much this movie was actually going to make and how well it was going to be received.
And how widespread it was going to be watched, right?
Two main actors.
Yeah.
So Lil Z and Rocket, like the adult ones, were given a choice to take... to get paid about like, I think their conversion was like $3,000 or $4,000 US, or to get a percentage of what the box office was. And they were like, well, we don't know how well this movie's going to do. Let's just take the cash. $3,000 or $4,000. And that's what they got paid. I don't know if that's all they got paid.
I hope they got good lawyers and like contested it.
probably not, man. They live in the favelas.
Oh man.
They legit live in the area. So,
there's one other thing that you mentioned, Lil Z and Rocket. So we have like two separate timelines, right? We have the 60s and the 70s. The kid actors they picked for Lil Z, who was Lil Dice then, and Rocket, they are also like casted so well that you didn't miss a beat when they got older and they were different actors. They still felt like the same character. So I had to give props for that too.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, the casting in this. Yeah, the casting was ridiculous. ridiculous. How do you take people who have never had any experience and then put them in a movie? Like the kids, some of the kids in this movie.
The runts, yeah.
The runts, like that kid that was crying in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy, man. That kid had never had any acting experience.
Yeah.
And arguably the most impactful scene in the entire movie for me was that scene where the kid has zero acting and that little kid is crying when they shoot his foot. But like that and then another scene. The thing is that they did think about the acting process a lot and how to train these kids on the proper reactions that they would get naturally from the characters. So they did something to that little kid to make him act that way. Not did something to it, you know what I'm saying.
They explained it to him.
They explained it, they taught him.
Yeah, they taught him.
Lil Dice, the kid, when he got slapped from...
Goose? Yeah.
They practiced that. And when that reaction is a real reaction, like he was going to leave the production because he was so pissed off from that slap. You know, stuff like that is... you have to give credence to it. So I'm kind of... I mean, my acting score is an 80, but... That kind of gives a lot to the process and not as, I guess it's not, you wouldn't see that score from just the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, we can probably move on to the themes. Here I give it a 75.
You gave it a 65?
Huh, I went with an 80.
Okay. Did you guys see much going on beneath the surface? Because for me, it was just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know if you would say necessarily theme, like there's one concrete thing outside of, you know, poverty,
violence,
greed,
classism.
Greed is the way to excel in poverty, but eventually it'll kill you. Yeah. You know, something like that. It's more about like just the realization of what that environment was like. If you count that as a theme, then
the city itself is a character, right? It's more than just a place. So I think that's a pretty big theme.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they even refer to the city as if like it's alive in itself, like its own entity.
We didn't have much to say, I guess, because it's not supposed to get into it that much thematically, right? It's a story. It's a gangster story.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to like walk out with this movie being like, oh, I learned this lesson. it's not about the lesson. It's a documentary.
It's not always about
kind
the moral
of, you know
lessons.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You're supposed to learn about what that environment is like. Really, you're just supposed to be, you're just supposed to watch this movie and then just be grateful that you're in America.
Or anywhere else but the favelas.
Or anywhere, well, yeah. Aesthetics, what did you guys think?
I gave it an 80.
I gave it a 70.
Okay. I went with an 85.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that this movie was made 17 years ago.
Same.
17, 18 years ago.
What did you think that this movie did best in terms of like visually or audio with the audio?
I'm not going to speak on the color palettes, you know, because that's your thing. But
not in this movie. Was, I didn't notice much.
Really?
There was.
So in the 60s, you have a very warm tone. It's very, very golden when the favelas are first like newly built government housing. And then you kind of see how the movie gets darker and colder, like scene by scene, especially once it gets into the new timeline. And the grittiness of the film choice, I think it was shot in 16mm. It's very gritty, like got that documentary feel to it, high contrast, very dark. I thought aesthetically it was great. The only reason I gave it an 80 and not higher is because of a few things we mentioned under narrative where some things felt a little gimmicky with like very fast panning shots, some sound effects, you know, a little bit of slow motion that was a little random at times. Those things kind of felt a little gimmicky to me, so I went down to an 80. Otherwise, I thought it was actually pretty good. And music as well. I thought the music was... It was all part of the scene. It wasn't like on top of the movie. It was, you know, music in the setting, and then it was, you know, amped up to be the music for the... Or the
I definitely remember liking all the music choices. They were really done well. I agree with you, Fraz, on everything about the visuals. I definitely didn't notice the color palette and how that changed throughout the movie. So I guess the early scenes were in a warm yellow tone, reflecting like the optimism of what City of God could be. And then later it's just like all dark.
I mean, now you
can
recall
grimy.
It, right?
Yeah, I can recall it. Yeah, for sure.
I appreciated watching the movie. It was that there was a great variety of, I thought there was a variety of shooting techniques. And often you're kind of like you're meant to be a bystander, because again, this is a like we talked about this documentary feel, and you're not meant to, it's not in the point of view of any one particular character. You're a bystander. Sometimes you're sort of in the point of view of Rocket. Sometimes you're in the point of view of somebody else. You know, when you're on the train, the camera is shaky, like you're on the train. When those kids are swimming in the water, you're in the water. You're like floating. You're treading, you know, water sometimes. Or if you're up from the one kid was up in the tree, so the camera was up in the tree looking down at the other kid. They're trying to put you into the scene. So I appreciated that. I thought that was they did a lot of that, and it's I thought it worked really well.
Hey, and I will mention like my favorite scene as far as aesthetically. Remember the scene where they're talking about how Little Dice is becoming Lil Z and taking over the favelas, and they talk about the story of the apartment, and over like the course of like 2 minutes, they show like the 20-year history of the apartment. And, you know, when Little Dice or Lil Z is walking into the apartment, they show that scene like three times from three different angles. One from Rocket's point of view, one from, what was the other guy's name? Blackie?
I think
Yeah, and then from Lil Dice's, his own point of view. So that was actually very creative, and I did appreciate that quite a bit.
But did you like how they cut away from this, from like a tense moment to explaining the back story? I didn't care for that. I wanted to be in that moment, get over the story, and then maybe go back or something like that. You know what I mean? It takes away from the
I can see your point of view
that they built up.
I can see your point of view. I think it was an okay choice, though. I appreciated that choice to cut away and give us the backstory and then proceed.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, as far as our total scores go, our tallies, mine comes out to an 84, as does Farhan's. And Fahad's is out to a 69.
Wow.
Fahad,
a little bit below average. Yeah,
just below average.
I didn't
average,
like the movies too much. Yeah.
As far as what we thought was strongest was our narrative. Our average comes out to an 82. Writing and aesthetics were pretty close at like 78. Acting and themes, actually they're all pretty close, except themes is the lowest at 73. So acting, writing, and aesthetics are exactly the same at 78. Narrative is our high of 82, and that's even with Fahad giving it a low score of 65.
Interesting. Right. Yeah, I don't know if this is, for me, one of the better movies from that time period.
Talk about that, Farhan. How you said it didn't feel like an 18-year-old movie to you, and it didn't to me all. Either, right? Like, it doesn't age. I mean, it ages very well.
But you're right. It ages really well, and I think a lot of that is because of... We're always talking about the process, right? Not being able to see the process. And some of this you can in here, but a lot of it's forgivable once you... They make it engaging, you know, and a lot of that goes to the directing. I mean, this is a 2-hour long movie, and to me, it did not seem like it was dragging at all. It's engaging because they use a variety of storytelling techniques. They use a variety of shooting techniques. There's a variety in tone. There's a variety in mood. Even the level of violence, they scale it up at some points and they scale it back down, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just got, it keeps you engaged throughout the entire, you know, 120 minutes.
Yeah. And I think that's why both of our narrative scores are as high as they are.
Yeah.
I felt like the film was glamorizing violence. It was relishing in people's deaths. And I thought that was extremely distasteful.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I did not see it glamorizing violence whatsoever.
Oh, God. Have you seen Kill Bill?
Yes, and it does
that.
Have
you seen Hostel?
No. Kill Bill does it more, for sure. But it's also got that
tone. In terms of glamorizing the violence.
Kill Bill, I think, goes into a campy territory, right? This movie sticks with realism, and it still celebrates violence. That's what
I don't think. So I don't think it's.
Yeah.
I can. So here, here's what I will. Here's what I'll say on the subject. I think you need to rewatch this movie, man. They're not glamorizing violence at all. That's completely outside of the. What they're doing is they're trying to, again, they're putting you in the shoes of a bystander in the favela. Violence is that prevalent there.
Yeah, it's part
especially
of
in
life.
This time period. They're not glamorizing it. They're making this real. They're making the situation real. That for the characters themselves, this is such an everyday thing that it doesn't even faze them. They're desensitized to it. Like that kid said, I've killed, I'm an adult. And he's like 9 years old. Yeah. Right? Like, there's little kids running around with guns shooting people. That's just the nature of the environment there, right? So they're not glamorizing the violence. What they're doing is giving you insight as a viewer into how desensitized all these other characters are. Well, like this whole city is.
But how, what about
the city of God specifically?
What about the scene that Farhan mentioned? Mm-hmm. The kid, the same kid that Farhan just quoted too, where he says, "I've killed, I've robbed, I'm an adult." His name is Steak, right?
And then his friends laugh at him, right?
Yeah, but like Steak is the one, when he gets initiated to the gang, he's the one who has to kill between the two kids, right?
Yeah.
Lil Dice or Lil Z shoots the two kids in the foot, and then he gives the gun to Steak and is like, "Hey, you got to kill one of the two." And right, he kills the older of the two. How did that scene at all show, like, it's the total opposite of glamorizing violence. It was impactful, yeah. Like Farhan said.
I wasn't thinking of that scene particularly. I was thinking of other scenes where it seems like the characters themselves are giddy and killing people, and then like the tone of the movie is like a little bit weird. Like,
But that's the care. That's the whole point, right? Lil Z is an evil dude.
Well, it's not just Lil Z. It's other characters as well.
Who?
I don't remember the names.
Like Steak, right? Because Steak becomes hardened. But you saw the apprehension during that initiation phase, and then he becomes hardened that scene, going forward.
Yeah.
I guess he's just an example of all the other kids, like how it starts. And then how it ends, where they are kind of innocent, they kind of know what they're doing is wrong, to the point where like it's totally mindless violence, and they just do it. It's just part of life.
If you want to talk about a theme, I mean, this is kind of going into that, right?
Yeah.
Violence breeds violence.
Mm-hmm. But and the film also shows violence getting the characters what they want, right?
Right, but that's the whole point, is that that's what it is in the favela, because these people are so poor, they have no out. This is their only way to succeed. Like, look at Knockout Ed, right? Like, he was just a normal dude. He was an adult, just living his life, and violence crept on his door, and he had no choice but to accept it and embrace it if he was going to go any further. That's the sad reality of this place. The kids, the runts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, even with that scene with Knockout Ned, when he is initially like brought into the violent nature of the gangs, like his little brother, an innocent person, gets killed. I mean, innocent, mm-hmm. maybe not, because he stabs Lil Z. But then even when they're shooting up the house, they show his grandfather or father, I don't know, like Knockout Ned, someone in his family member gets shot, right, while they're just sitting on the couch. So they constantly are showing how innocent people are, like, you know, receiving the brunt of the violence when they have mm-hmm. nothing to do with it. And it's just, like Farhan said, it creeps into everyone's life.
Yeah, if you want to talk about, like, movies that glamorize violence, man, I mean, this is definitely not. They don't make it a point to be like, look, this is good. All this that's happening, that's good. The fact that people are getting further with violence doesn't mean, they're not making a statement about the violence themselves. They're making the statement about the hierarchy of violence in these people's lives. Like, look at Scarface.
Yeah.
The last scene of Scarface. That's glamorizing violence, right? Like, movies, I'm trying to think of another movie.
I mean, any Quarantino movie.
Yeah, any Quarantino movie glamorizes Quarantino. Violence. Quarantino. I don't care what you say, but he does it artfully.
Tarantino, not quarantine.
Quarantine? Did I say quarantine?
Yeah. Quarantino. You said Quarantino.
Quarantino, dude. That should be his name.
Yeah, we should put him in quarantine.
Tarantino. Why did I say Quarantino?
I don't know.
All right, keep going.
I've been in quarantine too long. Tarantino glamorizes violence. He does it artfully, but no question. Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
he glamorizes
for
violence.
For sure he does. Yeah. But it works in his films.
And it's not
right?
wrong. He does it great. He does it he does it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I would also say, when I mentioned how City of God is its own entity, when people are even trying to escape the violence. So when Shaggy is trying to escape in the 60s with his girlfriend Bernice, he gets shot and killed. When Bene is trying to leave the life with Angelica, he's not even the target, but he gets shot and killed, right, at his mm-hmm. going away party. Basically, you can't even escape it when you want to. Like, so I don't think it's glamorizing it. It's showing the tragedy of violence.
That's a good way of saying it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can see your point of view.
Violence breeds violence. What Farhan said, the city it's kind of like The Wire. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's a cycle, right? It's cyclical. It's not going to just end. And it only gets worse, like, with each iteration. So, like, the movie starts with the Tender Trio. These guys are, like, small ragtag, you know, criminals. They're only, like, they're doing small holdups, just getting some cash. They're not killing anyone. It's little Dice, right, who goes out and kills the people at the motel that kind of dooms the Tender Trio. Like, Shaggy, like we said, he gets shot and killed when he tries to leave. Clipper goes to the church to redeem himself. And then Rocket's older brother, Goose, also gets killed by Little Dice when he's trying to leave the City of God. But then Little Dice and Carrot are the ones running the show. And then when Little Z gets killed at the very end, the Runts are the ones that take over, right? And presumably, they're even more ruthless because Little Z at least had some code where he didn't want to disturb the residents. He didn't want to disturb, like, you know, local businesses. He just wanted to, you know, run the streets and run the drug trade.
He just wanted the power.
Yeah, he just wanted the power. He generally seemed like an advocate for peace as long as he had the power. The only reason they go to war is because Carrot owns or runs a separate neighborhood, and he just wants control of that as well. But that whole scene with the kid and Steak getting initiated by killing one of the two kids is because those kids were robbing a local bakery. And he's like, you can't be robbing bakeries, you know, in my town.
The reason he doesn't care about the bakeries, he doesn't care about the people. The reason is because they brought police.
And it's bad and for it brings business. Unwanted attention.
Yeah.
Even then, like, it only means it's
because otherwise he's like Walmart, dude.
He's already got a relationship with the police, right? At the very end where he's been paying off the police, which we kind of knew. But yeah, more unwanted attention from the police would mean that he has to pay off even more police. So he doesn't want to do that, obviously. But like the police are just as much in on it in this corrupted world as anyone else. Like otherwise, it wouldn't thrive or wouldn't exist in the condition that it is. Oh, I didn't realize this in my first like few watches, but I did this time. So what we see in the 60s, like it's the very beginning of the favela, right? Like the construction of it. I didn't realize that's actually the same exact place for the story, you know, 10, 20 years later.
Really?
Like, it is. The streets are just paved now. Electricity has been brought in and it's just gotten more crowded.
So the multiple story buildings and like everything. Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the spacing of the streets early on in the 60s, the streets were so big and So I guess everything was like raised over and built up again.
I mean, they just paved the roads and they built more buildings closer together and built on top of each other building.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, I didn't realize that until this time. I mean, I actually looked because his narration kind of alludes that it's the same place. Because they never leave the City of God, right? How, like, he's calling the first place in the 60s City of God, and he's calling the place in the 70s City of God as well. Like, how could it be two separate places? And then I looked it up, and then yes.
I just assumed, like, they built up, like, a bigger city just, like, right next door to where the original houses
it's
were?
It's just the maturation of the government projects, really.
Interesting. I didn't even thought about that. That's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, it shows like how accelerated it was, really.
Because you're right. It looks like it was a completely different place. That's what I was like, okay, they moved to the city. And then one of my questions was going to be, what happened to these people's families? And that's one of my gripes with it is that we never know what happens to Rocket's family and where his parents even are. Like, where does he even live? Does he live with his parents still? Like, what's going on?
I assume they're honest workers. They're just, you know, living their day-to-day life, you know, in poverty. There's too much to go into if they had to involve, like, family of each of these kids.
Yeah. But he talks about everybody else's family. He doesn't even mention his own.
I mean, he kind of does. He mentions how, like, when he met Lil Z for the first time after a while, that he could have avenged his brother's death. Well, that's one thing I didn't like, how Rocket just knew everything. He was, like, the...
Yeah.
All-knowing.
Yeah, who knew that? Exactly, yeah. How would he know that he shot Goose?
Yeah, how would he know, right? That's the first thing I thought. But also, one thing I saw about this movie... So obviously Rio de Janeiro, one thing, like the one symbol that everyone knows throughout the world is that Christ the Redeemer statue, on top of the mountain, right? And it's like notably absent from this film. Mm-hmm. As in like there is nothing to redeem or like it's unredeemable.
Did they ever shoot that same location?
Well, they have a few scenes on the beach, right?
And it's supposed to be visible from there?
Yeah, like, I guess if they zoomed out a bit, you would have been able
to see it. I do remember one scene on the beach where we see mountains in the back, but then there's there's clouds.
But it's just
there's
cut
clouds
off,
actually hiding like the upper trenches of the hills. Yeah,
the peaks.
I don't remember seeing it at all.
No, it isn't in the movie.
Yeah, and I think
sure.
that's purposeful too. And they mention that a lot throughout the movie. They have dialogues along the lines of like, why would you come to the city of God that doesn't have a God or something like that? You know, they say that several times. So I mean, obviously, yeah, that's purposeful absence of Christ. Is that the right thing to say? You know what I'm trying to say?
A purposeful absence.
Purposeful
of
omission. What omission or what?
Omission.
Omission. Omission. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing too. Like, when you think of Rio, it's the most famous city in Brazil, and people go there as tourists and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like a party
town. And behind that, you know, veil is this, the favelas,
mm-hmm. which they try to hide, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, that's true for any city, but yeah, even Rocket mentions it where he's like, they built the projects, you know, far from the eye of the city. So like people just can't, obviously literally as in they're probably far from the center of the city, but also that they're just not visible.
So the tourists aren't bothered.
Yeah. Like they can't see the condition that these people are living in. Yeah. You guys want to talk anything about Rocket as far as the character? I mean, I know Fahad, you mentioned you just didn't like his story. I thought he was a pretty cool protagonist.
It's not that I didn't like his story. Well, it didn't deserve, like, it wasn't interesting enough to me to be like the main perspective. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I really like, I think he like provided relief from like the gritty violence. And you kind of need that sometimes in this movie, or else it'll be just one violent scene after another. And like Lil Z was so unpredictable that if it's only him on screen the whole time, it would just be like I'd be way too anxious the whole time. Like, what's he going to do? He's unpredictable. He might just kill someone. But with Rocket, like, what does he say? He's like, I don't want to be a hood. I don't want to be a policeman because I'm scared of getting shot. Mm. But then, like, mm-hmm. when he's getting frustrated at not making enough money after, like, working at the grocery store, and he wants to, like, rob someone, but everyone he comes across is just too cool to rob versus Knockout Ned, right? Knockout Ned on the bus is too cool.
Well, the funny part about that scene, too, where he's like, they're thinking about robbing him, and then Knockout Ned's like, yeah, I was a marksman and and I also black belt in karate and all this stuff. And they're like, well, thank God we didn't try to rob the guy.
And then they go to like a bakery, and then this chick is there that he starts flirting with. He's like, yeah, she's too cool to rob.
Yeah.
I think, oh, there's this dude from Sao Paulo. We'll rob him because there's no one cool from there. Yeah. And then they end up like smoking weed with him, and they're like, "Man, you're the coolest guy I know from South Park."
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was funny, man. I liked Rocket quite a bit.
Yeah,
I mean, he was just like an easygoing guy, and then like obviously him, like he was like the steady hand, because even Lil Z gets along with him, Bene gets along with him, Angelica gets along with him. Everyone just gets along with him, so he's kind of like a neutral observer, which makes like for the perfect character for us to follow around to get everyone's point of view.
Yeah. Cool. Is that it, folks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to the discussion part, hopefully you've already seen the movie. I wouldn't even say that there's any crazy spoilers in this movie anyway.
Not really.
Yeah, lot of it is kind of predictable for sure, but
you know what you're getting into.
And with the violence being cyclical, you know where you're going, you know? Like, it's only going to start up again if anyone goes down.
I mean, I did kind of like that thread of the story where like Bene was like the peacemaker that was holding everything together before the all-out war. Just because
I think he was one of my favorite actors in this movie.
I mean, he really was just pretty cool, right? Like, laid back. He calls himself a hippie and rational. Like, he's like, we never see Bene actually kill anyone.
No.
Yeah. He's like one of those people who, he doesn't resort to violence to make ends meet, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I will say one thing I really didn't like is Knockout Ned's death. Like him being killed by that kid because
that
was a little forced and a little,
that was dumb.
It was
that came out of nowhere and that was dumb for sure, 100%.
That was a little too dramatic for me.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks everyone for listening. Peace.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this production of The Twice Over. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and sharing it with a friend. Want to see what your tally is? Check out thetwiceover.com. All the movies we've done are listed there, as well as what we're watching for the current week. Follow us at The Twice Over on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where you can leave us any suggestions, feedback, or comments. And if you're about it, you can also support us on Patreon. The music you hear on this podcast is from Amerigo Gazaway. You can find his work on Bandcamp and Spotify.